Few minutes today, and I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do among us. I want to say welcome to all of our guests today. Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. Make sure you greet somebody you haven't seen here before you leave today.
Well, praise the Lord. We live in some really exciting times. We really do. As you well know, I'm a bit of a geek, and I love all of the tech, and I love the places where technology is at or what it's taken us. But I'm always struck by how much more we have to learn, how much more we have to discover, and honestly, this is just totally my opinion here, so you can take this and leave it at the door if you'd like. But I feel like the pace of technology and the pace of science just isn't advancing fast enough to keep up with the timeline of God. That his timeline is going to advance very quickly toward a certain end. And the rest of the world and all of the advancement and all the science that we have just isn't quite going to keep up with it. That's my current read. Anyway. Some point you want to kind of get an idea of what I'm thinking about that, go look up the ITER project, where they're basically trying to create power from the sun, and it's pretty amazing. Anyway, we got some really cool stuff going on, but I just don't think it's moving fast enough. To the Word. So this is in Proverbs, and it's in Proverbs 19. I was reading through the book of Proverbs, and I've got kind of the dual Bible, right? It's King James on one side and Amplified on the other, and I just cannot get out of the book of Proverbs. I keep reading and rereading and rereading. I'm seeing things in there I haven't seen before. This was one of those. So this is in Proverbs 19. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. So that term devices was written down in the King James about 400 years before Steve Jobs. And so our definition of devices means something that needs to be charged, something that needs to be updated, or in the case of Apple, something that needs to be upgraded, right? So there are, when we think of this phrase, there are many devices in a man's heart. Hard for us to relate to that term and to see what it is that we're talking about there. And then it says in a man's heart, what is that? What is the heart? Why not the mind? When it says in there the device, that word is, I would say probably makashava in Hebrew. And it translates into a thought, but also a plan, a purpose, or an invention. And the first thing that strikes me is that that's not in the man's mind, it's in his heart. So this is something that I have an emotional interest in. This is something that I'm desiring, something that I'd love to try and accomplish, something that I'd like to get done. It's not just something that I'm reasoning out in my mind. I have a connection to it somehow. It's important to me that I see this thing done. And yes, I can certainly attest that there are lots of plans in this man's heart and in this man's head. I've got lots of plans. I would say that probably one of the hardest things for me to figure out, I still struggle with this, but especially was hard when I was first getting out on my own and having an opportunity to choose my path in life. I was having a very hard time trying to reconcile. How do I pursue the will and the purpose of God, but also balance it with this pressure, which is very real and very near, to make a plan, create a purpose? And whether this is, what are you going to major on in college, to just, where are you going to get a job? How are you going to pay the bills? And how do you reconcile these two things, right? How do you advance and forward in this life and deal with these things while also dealing with needing to pursue the will of God? And that's hard. And the advice here didn't really say anything about those devices being bad. Didn't say that those plans were a problem. But it said that the counsel of the Lord, that will stand, the counsel of the Lord. That's a significant word there. In Hebrew, I would say it's probably atzah is how you would say that. And it means just exactly what we're seeing in here. It's an advice. It's implying a plan. It's also some prudent advice, giving a purpose, a statement of purpose, and, of course, counsel. It's most of the time translated as counsel. So a lot of the times when you're reading the word counsel in English, then this is the word that's behind it. There's a few times where it's translated as purpose or advice. And I think really the first thing that we get from that word of counsel there is that counsel can be ignored, right? You don't have to follow somebody's advice. You don't have to listen to them. You don't even have to seek it out. And if you do seek it out, that's kind of the first step. But if you do seek it out, you can just totally reject it and totally ignore it. So counsel is something that is optional. And we're going to come back to that in a moment. Lots of examples of the word counsel. Just a couple verses that I wanted to share with you briefly. This was in Deuteronomy. It was from the perspective of the Lord that was speaking. Really exhibiting a certain amount of frustration or sadness with the people. He said, they're a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. A nation void of counsel. How sad is that? To find an entire group of people that there's no interest, it seems. There's no desire for counsel. There's no desire for advice. They're not pursuing that. And the challenge with the Lord is that, again, it's from the perspective of the Lord that's communicating this. He's like, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, that they would think about where this is going to take them, that they would see what the consequences are of this, and that they would then seek counsel. You also get a clear reconciling already here that the Lord has counsel he wants to give them, but for some reason they're not receiving it and they're not interested in it. See, counsel is something that you're not forcing somebody to follow it. You're not telling them they have to. That's a command. That's not what's coming across here. It's counsel. Counsel that has to be sought. Counsel that has to be valued. Counsel that has to be listened to. And then counsel that has to be responded to. A lot of options in there for you to pull back from that. In 2 Chronicles, again, just a couple of very brief examples, but this is another way to see how counsel is something that is so optional. The king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. You look at the context for this. There was a rift that it created among some of the tribes and the people of Israel, and you had Israel and Judah, and there was a reckoning again here to see how much tribute they're going to have to pay. And this had already been established by his father Solomon, and this had sort of been sorted out. But now he's king, and he's got to make his own decision. He's going to make his own call as to how this goes. And he has a choice, and he pursues the counsel of the old men, the elders, the ones that had been with his father, and he seeks their advice, and theirs was advice of moderation. But then he seeks the counsel of the young men, and theirs was more, I think in modern political parlance, we say they were more hawkish. They were much more aggressive, and they're like, no, you need to double or triple the taxes, essentially, that you're collecting on them. And he chose to follow their counsel. Now, I wonder what the motivation was of that. You kind of have to read through there and come to your own conclusion. It could be that, you know, he's king and he's looking for a way to establish himself. But there's also this other concept. I've mentioned this before, this notion of confirmation bias, that we're going to be biased toward the counsel or the advice that confirms what we want, that supports our plans and our purposes. So maybe he was really just looking for validation to be able to say, yeah, this is probably the right way to go anyway. But in any case, he rejected the counsel that the old men gave him. And he chose the counsel of the young men. And again, you'll probably want to read this in context, but you know, the last verse in that chapter says that Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. So there was an opportunity there to perhaps at least not make a bad situation worse, maybe even to begin mending some fences. The old men perhaps saw that. He went a different way. He rejected that counsel, and it created a rift that persisted. And it really made a situation that was already a little troublesome even worse. The point there being that he had a choice. He was king. He could do whatever he wanted to. And he could choose which counsel to follow. And that's the nature of counsel. You get to choose whether or not to reject it. This is interesting. And so here's a verse, a passage in Jeremiah. We mention this often. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. The Lord is about ready to is speaking of a time of judgment for the people where they're going off into Babylon and they're going to be in captivity for 70 years. And it's going to be a tough time. And it's going to be hard. And there's going to be a lot of really rough outcomes from that. And they're going to be a weakened nation even when they emerge from that. And it's really not a good time that they're heading into. And we look at this from a position that the Lord's giving them hope. It's, I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to pull you back. Yes, all of that is there. But this verse that we sometimes, I at least have known that to have taken it out of context, in verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Wait a minute, what's going on here? The Lord is leading them into a time of captivity. He's leading them into a time of judgment. And yet he's saying, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Well, Lord, your actions, the things that are about to happen to me sure don't match with that. How's that reconcile? Well, that word there, the thoughts. You know what that word is in Hebrew? The same thing translated counsel elsewhere, makashava. I know the makashava, I know the counsel, I know the purpose, I know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord. It was as if this thing that was about to happen, this captivity they were about to go into, was actually not his plan. It was not his counsel. It's not what he wanted. He could certainly bring that around to serve his purpose, but his were thoughts of peace. His were thoughts of evil, not of evil. His thoughts were to give them a specific end. He didn't, this thing that was coming upon them didn't actually align with his purpose for them, but it was a consequence of their rejecting his counsel and a consequence of them choosing their own way. This was a consequence they were facing. It was a consequence out of sync, out of alignment with what he wanted for them. That's the difficulty here. Is that you had a situation where the counsel of the Lord was calling them to a specific end. And he said, you know, I'm going to... This last verse here is also significant because he's still trying to see his plan done in his people. His people are taking a detour. They're taking a side trip off to some other direction over here. But he's talking about, yeah, you're okay. Well, when you get over that and you come back into my plans and you seek my counsel again, then we're going to put this thing back on track. And I've got some new directions here for you. You see, that counsel that he had, that counsel was fixed. That counsel, the purpose that he had remained even when the people went off into a different direction. And so we revisit Proverbs 19, and this was really kind of what led me to this because I was reading it in the Amplified. This is how the Amplified Bible translated. Many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. The Lord's purpose will stand. So many people go through life seeking purpose. So many people are frustrated. They struggle because they feel that they have no purpose in their life. They have no specific plan. The Lord has a purpose for all of us, and it is a purpose in His kingdom. It is a purpose to advance His kingdom. It is His counsel. This has changed really my perspective, because rather than just trying to live a holy life and expect that, you know, God's will just somehow flow automatically out of that. All of that's important, by the way, seeking holiness, seeking relationship with God. These things are important. But I also see now the purpose, or the value, I guess, really, of pursuing the Lord's counsel, to stand before Him and say, I want Your advice in my life, God, and I'm going to listen to it, and when I hear it, I'm going to apply it. I'm going to make those choices, because the choice, the responsibility for that is really very much on me. His purpose is what's going to last, and it's His purpose that is going to stand amongst everything else that goes on. That's what I've come to really seek as of late, is His plan and His purpose. Again, really exciting time in the kingdom. There was a time when I felt somewhat challenged by the Lord that His church wasn't as active on the earth as He wanted it to be. And there was some decisions and some things that I needed to make to kind of get things together, and so that I would begin to follow that. And I felt that in prayer, and maybe even communicated that sometimes in ministry. I'm feeling that again, but it's a much more on, from a positive side. I don't know if I can communicate this correctly. I'm going to try. His church isn't yet fully active on the earth, and His kingdom isn't fully visible and fully operational on the earth, but it's coming, and it's coming very, very soon. His purpose and His plan and His counsel is fixed. He has a function for the church in this day and this hour, and we as a church are beginning to understand that. We collectively as His body are beginning to realize this. And so every day as I begin to pursue His counsel, and as I begin to say, how can I advance His purpose and advance His will, then that's just moving His kingdom more and more into the foreground. Yes, we are seeing the work of the enemy, and we're seeing the chaos and the confusion of this earth coming out in more and more, but we are also seeing the rise of the church, and we are seeing the rise of the kingdom of God on this earth. We're beginning to see the manifestation of His power and His anointing on this earth, and that, to me, is an incredibly exciting thing. I want to pursue daily His counsel, to pursue daily His purpose, so that I can be a part of advancing that and moving that forward. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Kendrick. Why don't we stand together right now? Would you lift your hands and just yield your plan, your purpose? The proverb said that a man has many plans in his heart, but it's the Lord's plan that's going to stand. It's the Lord's purpose in my life. Would you yield right now in this moment? Whatever plan you have, maybe something you've been working on, maybe something you conjured up. Maybe you're not sure if it's God's plan. Maybe you've questioned whether or not it's you or it's the Lord. Would you yield yourself right now? Yield your plan. Father, with uplifted hands, I surrender right now. I surrender my life to You, Jesus. I surrender my plan to Your plan. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just a moment longer. Just a moment longer, Jesus. I want Your plan. I want Your plan for my life. I want Your plan for my family. I want your plan for my mate, my future mate. I want your plan for my marriage. I want your plan for my home, Jesus. I want your plan for my career. I know I may have something mapped out, but I want what you want, Jesus. I want what you want, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, it is your plan that's going to stand the test of time. It's your purpose, Father, that's going to stand the test of time today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We're very fortunate at Life Church that we're located so close to a military base. And because of that, we get the opportunity to, the Lord brings many different people into our lives for seasons. Some have been long seasons, some shorter. And as is the case with every person that comes in, at some point they have to say, you know what, I have a responsibility. That's why I'm here and I'm being asked to go do this. And so many of you are still in contact, pray daily for Brother Ben and his service to our country and wherever he's at in the world today, doing whatever he's doing.